Blog Talk Radio. Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.
Hello, thank you. You've tuned in to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Tonight, we're going to talk about marijuana. Let's continue. From Leafly.com, Legends of 420, Weed's Top 5 Strain Families, written by David Downs. If you don't know your weed history, you don't know your token from. For the 50th anniversary of the 420, we at Leafly produced 5 expertly reported strain family genealogies that capture most of the top 50 popular cannabis varieties on shelves today. Celebrate the iconic stoner holiday by picking up a legendary strain and learning how it was crafted by some of the craftiest growers in the cannabis industry. These strain family genealogies and posters we made are like CAT scans of contemporary weed culture. If you understand how major families connect, you can decipher the myriad new crosses and buy and smoke like a pro, with a sense of place and time, deepening your high. This isn't just effet, craft beer sniffing. Cannabis is an $18.3 billion U.S. industry that employs 321,000 people. Trendy cultivars are multi-dollar pieces of intellectual property that make and break breeders and growers' careers. There are thousands upon thousands of strains, the seemingly hundreds of new ones coming out each week. So we assembled the best cannabis journalists in the world to interview the most primary sources and write first drafts of weed history that could credibly sit in the Library of Congress. Check them out. What is a marijuana strain family? Weed strain families are similar to human families in a number of ways. Just like people, cannabis comes in two sexes, male and female. Mostly like humans, cannabis can also contain intersex genes that have led to some amazing strains, like cherry pie. Male pollen usually fertilizes female pistils, leading to offspring seeds that mix the genes of both parents. While modern humans prefer random love matches, cannabis breeders select marijuana mates for traits they want to see in the kids, like pungent aroma and high THC potency. Certain marijuana offspring or crosses or hybrids look, smell, and feel so desirable, breeders select and cross them again and again, thus creating large families of different strains that all contain some of the parents' genes. The original haze lines from 1970s Santa Cruz, California Haze Brothers started the haze family of strains that today includes Blue Dream, Super Silver Haze, Super Lemon Haze, and Jack Hare. The original 70s Mendo Perps led to today's Perps family that includes Granddaddy Purple, Grape Ape, cherry pie, and so on. The OG Kush family started in the mid-90s with a mysterious Florida clone grown in Silver Lake, California, that took over the state and then the world. The OG Kush's parentage is speculative, but if you like OG, try everything. The first Tangy in the 2000s near Yosemite, California strain led to an entire Tangy family with sour tangerine, clementine, mimosa, forbidden fruit, and squirt. Who are the people behind the trees? Every strain you smoke started in the imagination of some loving, slightly obsessed breeder. Like, oh, I want to take the citrus in Tangy and add the dank of cherry pie. And boom, forbidden fruit. Our expert journalists of Leafly reached out to those breeders to get cannabis history direct from the mouths, including Hayes's Arjan Roskam, co-founder of Greenhouse Coffee Shop and Greenhouse Seed Company, Perp's Todd McCormick at Authentic Genetics, Tangy's Crockett of Crockett Family Farms, OG Kush's Josh D. Del Rosso, Sunset Sherbert's Mario, Mr. Sherbaninsky Guzman, and many, many others. It's hard to imagine in 2021 as legalization spreads, but these often pseudonymous breeders face lifetimes in prison under prohibition laws, thanks to every breeder that answered our direct messages, picked up the phone, and shared some history and photos. There's no international body arbitrating strain claims. It's a free-for-all, and we genealogists need to be private detectives. Leafly did solid work with a dedicated budget, a group of pro reporters, and a lot of time. Still, this project confronted the limitations of time, memory, prohibition, commercial competition, and good old-fashioned human error. We found most strain history conflicts boil down to a few factors. Two or more breeders naming different strains the same name. For example, two breeders sell two grape apes, each with different parents. Two or more breeders, growers, or sellers naming the same strain different names. For example, most OG Kush variants come from a few core types. Taxonomical confusion. Cannabis is full of 3, 4, and 5-way crosses and back crosses. For example, GSC's parentage is F1 Durban to Flo Rida OG. A lot of places just list it as Durban. Tropicana Cookies F1 came from a hairy resin at Bloom Seed Company, while Tropicana Cookies F2 came from Oni Seeds. The fog of prohibition and commerce, strain percentage gets lost. No one knows what OG Kush's parents are. Or today, the trade secrets RAIN Archive Seeds will not disclose some parents. We expect other weed historians to stand on our shoulders and do an even better. Even then, breeder, drama springs eternal. More strain families out there to map. This rewarding, long overdue project got us amped. Okay. Let's see, it might not be on the... It might not be broadcasting. Yes? Yes, it says now. There we go. There we go. Very nice. It doesn't say quality. Yes, but it is quality of the microphone artist. So we continue. This rewarding, long overdue project got us amped to map out more genealogies and empower more shoppers in 2021 and beyond. In the future, look out for our skunk family genealogy and hopefully deep dives into Afghani, Northern Lights, Blueberry, Chemdog, and all the new cakes. The Cookies and Cakes family began in San Francisco in the mid-2000s with Girl Scout cookies, leading to Sunset Sherbet, Gelato, Wedding Cake, Runes, and so much more. Thank you. You've been listening to Smoke News Radio. Your host, Jason Brodsky, from Ozzy.com, Ozzy.com. We have some feel-good news about marijuana's golden age, written by Joshua Efrihe. Some call it the holy herb, others the devil's lettuce. No drug has been more cultivated, trafficked, and consumed in the world, despite being largely illegal. But now one in three Americans live in a state with legal recreational marijuana. And many countries have either legalized or decriminalized the stuff. It's a brave new ganja world, and today we dive into its evolution and future innovations with a look at some mind-blowing additions to the crop. Don't worry, there's no risk of a contact high here, although your brain may get a nice buzz. Marijuana stocks, the budding business, was already worth an estimated $24.6 billion last year and is expected to grow by a heady 14.3% annually from 2021 to 2028. That trend is juicing the stock market, too, with top performers such as GW Pharmaceuticals producing cannabis-related drugs to treat diseases like multiple sclerosis and the Canada-based Canopy Growth, which is already shipping to Germany while ready to enter the U.S. market if federal legalization comes. the trend had Reddit investors, fresh off their GameStop extravaganza, excited to nurture Canavity growth stocks, which led to a pre-surge in value from $56 per share before settling back to about $27 this week. Other troublesome weeds are growing as investors realize nationwide American legalization may be further off than expected. Playing the long game, a number of funds from the Horizons Marijuana Life Sciences Index to the Alternative Harvest ETF are trading exclusively in cannabis stocks. Rolls-Royce of weed scientists haven't fully figured out the health benefits of THC and CBD, yet they're already raving about a new cannabis compound, or CBG cannabihiol, makes up just 1% of most harvested hemp strains. But thanks to some innovation, bud keepers, researchers have learned how to extract the compound in greater amounts. New research shows it could offer unique medicinal benefits, bringing the best qualities of CBD and THC without the high. CBG has antibacterial and anti-inflammatory properties, but it could plus it could improve the health of your bones, bladder, skin, and bowels. Some studies suggest it could even treat cancer. The Australian conundrum, what a buzzkill, despite soaring medicinal sales and Aussie doctors having their 100,000th cannabinoid script approved by regulators, medical professionals are being told there is no solid evidence marijuana helps cancer patients alleviate chronic pain. According to specialists, the available research is either of low quality or doesn't support the conclusion presented by many pot activists. The Australian Therapeutic Goods Administration is letting doctors prescribe medical cannabis products anyway, serving roughly 64,000 patients so far. The poisoned roots. There are still plenty of gaps in the legal United States weed market, including the lack of access for people of color, many of whose families and communities were disproportionately affected by the war on drugs. The people of color own less than 4% of United States marijuana dispensaries. Studies show, even though they are disproportionately locked up for having and dealing pot, a 2018 poll found that nearly half of the United States marijuana arrests involved people of color, despite fact they make up only 30% of the population. The insular industry has a long way to go toward spreading the wealth, from expanding people of color presence in product development, cultivation, to expanding education around how to acquire medical cannabis licenses. With erroneous regulations, individual states risk preemptively shutting out people of color, who tend to have less access to capital. Take Pennsylvania, for instance, where the licensing process can cost $2 million. Pot makes for complicated politics. Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act, the MORE Act, was passed in the Democratic-controlled House of Representatives last year with hopes of legalizing the drug at the federal level. It has not been taken up in the Senate. Meanwhile, the Senator Cory Booker sponsored Marijuana Justice Act, a bill to decriminalize marijuana, remains in limbo as well. That's leading some to ask when Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is going to make good on his 2 months and counting promise to tackle federal legalization. Local communities aren't hesitating to act. Take Evanston, a Chicago suburb that approved a first-of-its-kind municipal reparations program for black residents, giving a portion of marijuana tax revenue to those who fell victim to codified discrimination in neighborhood housing policies. And the major players, Sonia Burnett, the African-American cannabis, is a co-founder of Humble Bloom, a consulting firm and advocacy group that advertises growing cannabis brands with a humanistic approach. Their main goal is for companies to enter the marijuana industry consciously, pushing them to design strategic initiatives that emphasize pot destigmatization. A marijuana brand itself, Humble Bloom, not only sells cannabis, but also hosts summits, field trips, and seminars presented by cannabis industry thought leaders. When she's not hyping weed, Burnett does work with Breathwork Studio Frequency and Afropunk Festival. And Jay-Z, the hip-hop Sion, isn't the most pot-heavy artist, though he does drop a dope line in Excuse Me, Miss, beginning with, "You can't roll a blunt to this one. You gotta light a J." However, he is a businessman beyond the music scene, and it shouldn't be surprising that Jay-Z has other hedonistic tastes. After Beyoncé's Grammy-winning hubby saw Louis Vuitton buy half of his stake in his Ace of Spades champagne brand in February, the Brooklyn native went the opulent route with his cannabis venture. Monogram, a nod to print often used for luxury items, that rich approach lingers in every nug on the luxury line, from its curation to its high-minded strains, the mogul is firmly part of the weed bloom, adding some melanin to the industry saturated with white folks. The man ending Mexican cartels, he isn't a politician or military leader. No, the man ending Mexican cartels is Guillermo Nieto, head of the National Association for the Cannabis Industry, which has some 200 companies interested in growing legal marijuana. Guanajuato native wants to fend off illegal producers while finding a way to make legalization profitable for the many impoverished farmers who nonetheless depend on drug traffickers to make ends meet. Nieto, who began smoking pot in Boston as a college student, is preparing farmers to swap traditional THC plants for industrial use, that type to produce non-psychoactive yet profitable components like CBD and hemp fiber. The long-term hope is to starve cartels of their most important asset, their product. Purple Urkel actor Jai Lee White is also getting in on the Kush game with his new line out, Today It's Purple, featuring the Purple Urkel strain. His decision to take ownership comes after years of seeing his famous Family Matters character name used for weed varieties. White said his personal interests, aka not Urkel related, of good food, adventures, and laughs coalesced perfectly for the pot industry, which he is well aware has faced major diversity and inclusion issues. Take your vitamins. As a certified dietitian with a master's degree from Columbia University, Laura Logano began researching holistic approaches when her daughter suffered impairments linked to autism. While CBD had long been studied as a treatment for seizures and genetic ailments, Logano took the data further, primarily focusing on its potential use as a dietary supplement. As the Holistic Cannabis Academy founder, Brooklyn native integrates cannabis and CBD recommendations with essential oils and nutritional advice. From special teas to brownies and smoothies, Logano says the plant works best. When paired with charging your lifestyle choices for the better, the presidential stamp, Ronald Reagan dubbed it one of the most dangerous threats to an entire generation of Americans in the 1970s. Bill Clinton partook, but insisted he didn't inhale in the 1990s. And this past November, the United States elected a half-Jamaican vice president who bragged on radio about her college toking days. Sure, the commander in chief is a bit of a narc, but with Biden White House firing a number of staffers for previous pot use, but 6 in 10 Americans want to legalize the good. Good, up to 25% who felt that was 3 decades ago. As you'd imagine, behavioral reflects our changing attitudes. The number of adults aged 50 to 64 who admit to smoking pot have doubled over the past decade. For ganja gentrification, pop culture has bud as an artist's best friend, the companion of the liberated and anti-establishment. But creatives aren't so sure anymore. That's because the urban cannabis production led by homebrew cultivars and out-of-state corporations is leading to recent hikes in desirable artist respites like Oakland and Seattle. In some areas in Seattle, rent jumped by 50%. Similar phenomena occurred after Canada and Denver made legal weed as well. As millions of square feet in industrial space gets covered over by pot farms, stoner creatives are being displaced. And while artists hope they could work out a deal with the growers, so far they've been skunked. It really is stronger. The elders warned that weed today is way stronger than when it was available back in the day. Aren't lying. Cannabis is especially prone to experimentation because it is an easy to breed, says Ryan Stoa, pro-author of Craft Weed, an exploration of family farming and the future of marijuana industry. Quotes, after a few generations, you're going to keep pushing that envelope and driving that THC level up because you're just selecting plants that have a high THC level, he explains. Studies suggest that potency has tripled in just a few years, or as comedian Cat Williams riffs, have to be careful though, 'cause weed is getting stronger every 2 weeks. Some are trying to combat concerns of customers unwittingly imbibing too much with chemometrics, science-based lab reporting that serves like nutritional facts for weed. These reports inform users what they're smoking down to the terpenes, minuscule plant molecules. Lev Spivak Beardorn, co-founder of PSA Labs, told OZY while arguing people should use the extra information to curate their experiences, not fret over the ingredients, says people are kind of fixated on these numbers when they don't need to be. Trading martinis for Mary Jane, the lunchtime cocktail or happy hour drink used to be the staple for cooling off, but in California, pot is by far the most popular bomb for the weekday blues. In 2018 survey of 4,000 Californians found that 70% of pain pill users and 60% of alcohol drinkers had cut back or halted their consumption since marijuana became legal. Cannabis already carries fewer risks to your health than drinking, experts say, and with weed as an option for taking the edge off, there are fewer reasons than ever to wake up to a hangover. Gravity bong engineering. Back in the day, the gravity bong was a contraption that required MacGyver-like abilities. A bucket, aluminum foil, a half-gallon bottle, etc. Now, there's a device that does away with the toked-up tussle. The Gravity Hookah by Student Glass is all a sophomore undergrad fresh off a Taco Bell run could want. The sophisticated and elegantly designed 360-degree rotating glass uses opposing airflow technology. It's just really cool. Near as human. Khalifa went viral in the process. Okay. Yeah, Mary Jane skin. The secret to good skin. Tropical effects of THC and CBD are fertile ground for a beauty market vying for new ideas. Lip Bong Balm uses peppermint oils with cannabis-infused grapeseed oil. For example, studies suggest there are valuable health enhancements in various cannabinoid treatments. Marijuana studies major. No, it's no joke. Students really are majoring in Mary Jane now that Lake Superior State University in Michigan is offering the country's first cannabis chemistry scholarship. The $1,200 grants are a boon to those already interested in the school's groundbreaking class on the same subject, which began in 2019, and with the aim of ensuring safety and integrity in the cannabis industry. Even teetotalers can't argue that greater good isn't being served. The program is designed to prepare students to work in various cannabis industry sectors. That's how we're going to change this, says Christina DiArchiano, an entrepreneur of CEO with more than two decades of experience in the medical cannabis CBD industry, quotes, "That's why I got into this industry 5 years ago. I should not be viewed as illegal or pot. We need to look at it as a medicinal value, nutraceutical." All right. As pronounced by the mouth of Jason Brodsky, right here. Next, from recordnet.com. Read to you by Smoke News Radio. This article was provided to the Associated Press by the Chronicle of Philanthropy. Support for the Lilly Endowment for coverage of philanthropy and nonprofits. San Joaquin's Fathers and Families among nonprofits gaining funds from unusual source. Marijuana Sales, written by Sammy Nunez. Over the past 2 years, California has used some of the fees it collects from the sale of recreational marijuana to give grants to community organizations that serve people and communities harmed by the war on drugs. So far, the state has awarded nearly $100 million, a figure expected to jump to $175 million in May. Fathers and Families of San Joaquin, a small nonprofit that serves young people and people who have been through the criminal justice system, received a $1 million grant in 2019. The group trains formerly incarcerated people as substance abuse counselors. Former inmates conduct workshops and training for young people in correctional facilities. The group also has rapid response teams for domestic abuse and child abuse. Sammy Nunez of Fathers and Families of San Joaquin takes part in affordable housing meetings in 2017. Quotes, "They were traumatizing us. So many of the problems the organization tackles in and around Stockton can be traced to the war on drugs." The group's executive director, Sammy Nunez, says he remembers police officers knocking down his front door when he was a child, something he says was common in his neighborhood, and his mother sitting terrified at the floor. "They were fiercely policing our communities," Nunez says. "They were traumatizing us." The Golden State is not alone. Alaska and Illinois have similar problems, programs, and as more states legalize the drug, additional programs could be on the way. In the 2018 election, voters in Arizona, Montana, New Jersey, and South Dakota approved measures to legalize the recreational use of marijuana. At the end of March, the New York State Legislature passed a marijuana legalization bill that will set aside 40% of tax revenue for grants to community groups and local governments to help communities disproportionately affected by harsh drug policies. This system that California set up has been particularly beneficial to smaller groups that are closest to these communities, says Bonnie Medura, a senior program manager at the California Endowment, a foundation that supported efforts to push for marijuana grants. State agencies' offices have rigorous application requirements for nonprofits that can shut them out of the process. Many of the grantees rarely receive such large amounts of money. Matt Cervantes, an official at the Sierra Health Foundation, which manages part of the California effort, quotes, "I've had a number of conversations with these organizations where they've told us that these are the largest grants that they've ever received. These are well-known advocacy organizations from across the state that have deep history in philanthropic sector, but a $1 million grant over 3 years, that can be a total game changer." That was the case for Painted Brain, a relatively new nonprofit in Los Angeles that together with another organization received a 3-year $900,000 grant. The organization provides mental health services, art programs, job training, and placement services, as well as legal help for people with mental health challenges. With the state funding, it has been able to expand programs and think about its future, says Dave Leon, the organization's executive director. "It provides a predictability and security for our organization that allows us to actually think bigger and think about what we really want to be doing." The state tries to target funds to small community organizations run by people of color that often serve people who have been incarcerated or have otherwise been affected by drug policies, as well as to groups that work to curb drug use. About 45% of people served by the programs that have won grants that Sierra Health oversees are Latino, and 35% are Black. Not all nonprofits and grant makers embrace money tied to marijuana. Using funds generated by the sale of marijuana means programs designed to stop people from using marijuana end up relying on drug use for support. It's something Thomas Azarea, director of the Alaska After School Network, has thought about a lot. Alaska allocates 12.5% of its revenue from marijuana sales to fund after-school prevention programs, and Azarea's group oversees distribution of the money. $1.25 million to 7 organizations in 2019. He knows he is not going to stop legalization. For him, it's a question of how to work within the system to do the most good. Azarea quotes, "We are not for or against the industry. We recognize if legalization occurs, we need to be focused on prevention. With the new industry comes additional risks and hazards, and this is our way to ensure that the industry is a good partner." At the California Endowment the foundation that supported efforts to establish the state grant program, there was some initial concern that getting involved with marijuana revenue funds would mean condoning use of the drug, Madura says. But comparing the idea of the state's use of cigarette taxes to fund children's programs was helpful. People are going to use marijuana just like they're going to use cigarettes, she says. The question then becomes how to use that money to help people before they use the substance rather than addressing health concerns after the fact. She goes on to say, there are these dollars coming. They belong to the people of California. How can they be invested in the most disproportionately impacted communities in California? Thank you from Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Okay, let's try to get through this one at a good time. From blackenterprise.com. Birmingham mayor celebrates 420 by lighting up 15,000 marijuana convictions. Written by Derek Major. Birmingham, Alabama Mayor Randall Woodfin announced Tuesday he will pardon 15,000 people who have minor marijuana convictions on their record. Woodfin made the announcement on 420, a date typically celebrated by cannabis advocates. The pardons are automatic and will apply to those who were convicted in municipal court between 1990 and 2020. Woodfin also announced the move on Twitter, where he encouraged the state to do the same. Quoted, today, I'm so happy to announce blanket pardons for those with closed marijuana possession convictions in this city between 1990 and 2020. This will pardon more than 15,000 individuals simultaneously, Woodfin said in a statement. Here's why we're doing this. No one should be held up by a single past mistake. No one should be denied job opportunities or freedoms due to missteps from the past. No longer will residents be bound to their past. They deserve a chance to be part of our workforce, to provide for their families, and to achieve success on their own. Quoted, today I issued a pardon of 15,000 people convicted of marijuana possession in Birmingham between 1990 to 2020. These pardons are a strong start, but our work is far from done. Alright, and then medical and recreational marijuana are both illegal in Alabama. However, state makers are considering a medical marijuana bill. Woodfin added that the pardons would allow those with marijuana convictions to no longer be looked at as criminals and will be able to get a job and provide for their families. Quoted NBC WVTM Action, Woodfin goes on to say, "No one should be denied job opportunities or freedoms due to missteps in the past. In recent years, numerous states have legalized recreational cannabis. New York, Virginia, and New Mexico all passed recreational marijuana bills this year. Other states are also considering recreational legalization as state tax revenues have fallen significantly due to the coronavirus pandemic. In a sign that federal legalization may be coming, the House of Representatives passed a marijuana banking bill that will allow owners of dispensaries to use traditional banking services because marijuana is still a Schedule I drug along with heroin, LSD, and ecstasy. Marijuana businesses and their owners have to do everything in cash. That includes paying taxes and employees." All right. You guys are great. Thank you so much for listening. Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Let's get this going tonight with... I do have another complete 5 minutes. But Alabama Cannabis Coalition hold an event in Huntsville, you know, with their interfaith vigil at 420 among the hundreds and thousands of other vigils that went on this past week. Cheers to everybody. Super awesome. Appreciate you for listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Have a good night.
A billion people died on the news tonight, but not so many cried at the devil's sight. Well, Mama said, "It's just make believe. Can't believe everything you see, so baby, close your eyes to the lullaby. On the news tonight, who's the one to decide that it would be all right to put the music behind the
90 seconds.
Well, Mama said, "You can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so unclear. So baby, close your ears on the news tonight. On the news tonight. The unobtrusive talk on the news tonight.
60 seconds.
Why don't the newscasters cry when they read about people who died? At least they could be decent enough to put just a tear in their eye. Mama said, it's just make believe. Believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes in the lullaby on the news tonight."
10 seconds.